In the mid-1970s, doctors in the small Connecticut town of Lyme began seeing patients with a baffling illness. Children developed severe arthritis while others suffered neurological symptoms that physicians struggled to explain. For decades, the disease was treated strictly as a natural outbreak, yet the geography raised uncomfortable questions. Lyme sits on the northeastern edge of Long Island Sound, not far from Plum Island, and within reach of facilities that once supported the United States Biological Warfare Program during the Cold War. During the Cold War, both superpowers invested heavily in biological weapons research. Fort Detrick, Maryland, served as the center of the American program from 1943 until President Richard Nixon ordered its termination in 1969. Among the many areas of study were insect vectors, which researchers examined as potential delivery systems for pathogens. The program expanded during the Kennedy administration following the failed Bay of Pigs invasion. In 1961, President John F. Kennedy and Attorney General Robert Kennedy authorized a covert campaign against Fidel Castro known as Operation Mongoose. Plans developed through Fort Detrick's Special Operations Division included a range of unconventional sabotage ideas, including poisoned cigars and contaminated diving equipment designed to target the Cuban leader. What was Operation Mongoose? What role did insects play? What was the ultimate objective? And did it really happen? Hello, I'm Colin Heaton, former history professor, Army and Marine Corps veteran, and welcome to this episode of Forgotten History.
The beginning of the toughest 26 days in Marine Corps history. With confidence in our armed forces.
The 36th President of the United States died this afternoon.
Tell them their children and women in here and to call it off.
The United States maintained an active biological warfare program from 1943 until 1969. During that period, researchers examined several potential delivery systems for pathogens, including insects that could spread disease among enemy forces. The program was built around Camp Detrick in Maryland, later known as Fort Detrick, where the Army's Chemical Warfare Service established its Biological Warfare Research Center in 1943. Field testing took place at locations such as Horn Island in Mississippi and the Dugway Proving Ground in Utah. Fort Detrick eventually became their primary site for the Army's Defensive Biological Research Program after offensive work was terminated. One of the earliest demonstrations of insect-based delivery systems occurred in 1954 during Operation Big Itch. The test followed earlier Japanese wartime research conducted by Unit 731 in occupied Manchuria, where insects had been used to spread disease among civilian populations. During the American experiment, the Army released approximately 670,000 fleas from cluster munitions to determine whether the insects could survive aerial dispersal and seek hosts on the ground. Military reports concluded that the test showed insect vectors could cover a battalion-sized target area and disrupt operations for extended periods. Tick research also developed during the Cold War. Work connected to Plum Island off the coast of New York involved the study of various tick species and their ability to carry pathogens. Investigators later reported that some experiments were conducted outdoors, which created opportunities for contact between test animals and local wildlife. Entomologist Richard Endress maintained large colonies of both soft and hard ticks on Plum Island, collecting specimens from locations as distant as Cameroon in Central Africa for study. Wildlife regularly moved between Plum Island and the mainland. Deer were known to swim the channel while birds traveled freely between the island and the Connecticut shoreline, creating pathways between laboratory research and wildlife. Cuba's alignment with the Soviet Union led the Kennedy administration to approve a covert campaign designed to weaken Fidel Castro's government. On March 13, 1962, the Department of Defense provided a status report on Operation Mongoose to Brigadier General Edward Lansdale, who was coordinating the program. That same year, Defense Secretary Robert McNamara authorized Project 112, a classified program that expanded U.S. biological weapons testing during the Cold War. The program scheduled 134 tests between 1962 and 1974 and included facilities capable of producing large quantities of insect for research, including mosquitoes, fleas, and ticks. Some proposals examined the possibility of dispersing disease-carrying insects against agricultural workers. The concept involved infecting laborers in Cuba's sugarcane and tobacco fields in order to disrupt the island's economy. The idea drew attention later because U.S. military biodefense and entomological research during the Cold War did study insects as potential carriers for pathogens. Decades later, some investigators speculated that tick-based delivery systems explored during that era might have contributed to later disease outbreaks. Lyme disease itself was identified in 1981 by Dr. Willy Burgdorfer, who discovered the bacterium Borrelia burgdorferi, named after him, was responsible for the illness. Scientific evidence indicates that Lyme-related bacteria existed long before the Cold War, with genetic studies suggesting their presence for tens of thousands of years. What has been alleged is that the military, working with the CIA, released 282,800 radioactive ticks, as well as ticks carrying Lyme disease, as part of a suppressed co-infection research project used in Cuba. One operative interview told researchers that the strangest thing he ever did was drop infected ticks on Cuban sugarcane workers using C-123 transport aircraft flying nighttime missions, almost skimming the surface of the Caribbean to avoid Cuban radar. He also said the deployment was canceled when Cuba's shifting winds made accurate payload delivery difficult. After returning from Cuba, the operative stated that his CIA commander advised him to burn all the clothes you took to Cuba, burn everything, out of concern for possible contamination. He later reported that his four-month-old son later developed a life-threatening fever requiring hospitalization, which he believed might have been connected to the ticks. These operations included maritime insertions and exfiltrations of sabotage and intelligence agents, strikes on economic targets such as sugar mills, radio propaganda broadcast from Swan Island, and deception operations. Some investigators believe these activities continued for decades. Between 1966 and 1969, the U.S. military did release 282,800 ticks marked with carbon-14 across sites in Virginia along bird migration routes. The radioactive labeling allowed researchers to track the spread of the ticks with Geiger counters over several years. The Long Island Sound region experienced an unusual rise in tick-borne diseases beginning in 1968. That same year, the first eastern U.S. human babesiosis cases appeared on Nantucket, and Rocky Mountain spotted fever was identified in the Cape Cod region. In 1970, hundreds of Rocky Mountain spotted fever cases were documented on Long Island, along with the first 51 documented Lyme arthritis cases in Old Lyme, Connecticut. It should be noted that before these experiments, Lone Star ticks were not found above the Mason-Dixon line. Within years of the Virginia releases, they had established populations on Long Island for the first time. What became known as Lyme disease was first recognized as a distinct outbreak in Lyme, Connecticut, and that was during the 1970s. Later, scientific literature describes the disease as first clinically recognized there in 1976. The National Institutes of Health summarizes this discovery as the key breakthrough that established Lyme as a bacterial disease spread by ticks. However, many believe that Lyme disease was created at either Fort Detrick or Plum Island and subsequently escaped, though that theory is not supported by the evidence. Even experts connected to early Lyme research and the Department of Homeland Security have rejected the Plum Island origin claim. If the disease was not created in a laboratory, the question remains whether it may still have been explored as a Cold War biological tool. One analysis noted that by the 1990s, the eastern end of Long Island had by far the greatest concentration of Lyme disease. The same study observed that if a circle were drawn around the region of the world most heavily impacted by Lyme disease, the center of that circle would fall near Plum Island. Another argument maintains that an extensive investigation based on declassified government documents and previously suppressed scientific research uncovered evidence suggesting that the U.S. biological weapons programs contributed to the emergence of Lyme disease, which now affects hundreds of thousands of Americans each year. On October 21, 1996, Cuba alleged that a U.S.-registered aircraft released biological material over Cuban territory and later linked the event to a thrips palmy infestation affecting agriculture. Cuba brought the accusation before the United Nations through the Biological Weapons Convention process. The United States denied the allegation and stated that the aircraft had been on a narcotics-related mission to Colombia and had crossed Cuban airspace with permission. The dispute became a formal diplomatic confrontation, but no conclusive public proof has emerged that the United States conducted a biological attack. In 2014, researchers discovered extensive unpublished materials in the garage of Willy Burgdorfer, who was deceased by that time. The materials indicated that Burgdorfer had identified a second pathogen known as Swiss agent in blood samples taken from Lyme patients in Connecticut and Long Island during the late 1970s. Testing reportedly showed very strong reactions to Swiss agent, yet the finding was not included in Burgdorfer's landmark 1982 study that identified the Lyme disease bacterium. The suppression of this research for more than 40 years may have contributed to treatment failures reported by some chronic Lyme patients. Dr. Jorge Benach and Dr. Alan Steer, co-authors of the 1982 study, have since acknowledged that Swiss agent research should be done because public health concerns warrant a closer look. The controversy surrounding the omitted findings later became known as the Swiss agent cover-up. In late 2025, Congress directed a Government Accountability Office review through the fiscal year 2026 Defense Authorization Law to examine Cold War-era research involving tick-borne pathogens. Lawmakers were pressing for answers. Representative Chris Smith introduced an amendment requesting that the GAO determine whether the military had ever experimented with ticks and tick-borne pathogens. The investigation describes what some interpret as a pattern of concealment spanning six decades, including the suppression of medical research and the release of the nearly 300,000 radioactive ticks across Virginia in experiments designed to track how disease-carrying insects might spread. In 2019, the House of Representatives passed an amendment requiring the Pentagon to investigate whether the military experimented with ticks and other insects regarding use as a biological weapon between the years of 1950 and 1975, and whether any were released outside of any laboratory by accident or experiment design. The program's existence was categorically denied by the military until 2000, when a CBS News investigation forced official acknowledgement. Documents later showed that the program involved every branch of the U.S. Armed Forces and intelligence agencies, with testing sites spanning multiple countries. Project 112 had been denied for nearly 50 years, despite extensive documentation, and Swiss agent research had remained suppressed, despite public health concerns. Congressional investigation requirements were strongly resisted by the Department of Defense, while surviving documents related to the program remained classified long after the original security justifications had expired. Questions suggesting possible laboratory origins were often characterized as conspiracy theories. Well, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? Even the Department of Agriculture, which had been involved with Plum Island operations, maintained that Lyme disease was never a topic of research at Plum Island. But that claim was challenged in 1993 when Newsday uncovered classified documents showing that biological warfare research had taken place at the facility. The latest analysis compared three laboratory leak investigations, the U.S. Lyme case, Chinese SARS-CoV-2, and COVID-19 origins, as well as Spain's recent African swine fever outbreak. According to that analysis, each case displayed similar patterns regardless of the political system in which it occurred. Investigators pointed to obstruction of inquiries, restricted access to evidence, and institutional resistance to outside oversight as recurring features. Critics also argued that officials promoted alternative explanations that diverted attention away from laboratories conducting high-risk pathogen research. Some investigators believe these responses helped sustain decades of uncertainty surrounding several disease outbreaks. Even now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is analyzing roughly 30,000 blood samples from people suspected of tick-borne illness using modern molecular techniques. The work could potentially validate Burgdorfer's suppressed Swiss agent findings decades after the original research. Lyme disease continues to affect hundreds of thousands of Americans each year. Whether its emergence was purely natural or influenced in some way by Cold War biological research remains a subject of great debate. What is clear is that many of the programs surrounding insect-borne pathogens remained hidden for decades, leaving unanswered questions that investigators are still trying to resolve.
Thank you for watching this episode of Forgotten History. If you liked what you saw, please click like, share, and subscribe. And if you would like to assist with the ever-increasing cost of production, please consider becoming a channel member and joining our Patreon page. And thanks for watching.